Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On Track 1, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On Track 2, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 6, Number 7. In the last edition of SNU, I reviewed the history and pharmacology of cannabis, perhaps the safest of all the substances considered in this review of recreational drugs. The lethal dose of cannabis is estimated at approximately 800 joints, or about 1 kilogram of high-potency pot. However, this is only an estimate, as no deaths have ever been reported from overdosing on cannabis, and death would come, again theoretically, from carbon monoxide poisoning rather than exposure to the cannabinoids in the weed. Compare this to the lethal dose of vodka, utka, which is 300 milliliters, or 60 milligrams of nicotine. Now let's take a look at the next substance on our recreational drug list, none other than cocaine. Cocaine is an alkaloid. The formula is C17H21NO4. It's derived from the leaves of the coca plant, known in botanical medicine as ethoxylon coca. This is native to Bolivia, Chile, and Peru. Kind of interesting how just 3 countries in the world offer the environment to grow cocaine, the leaves. This South American shrub is a powerful psychostimulant. People indigenous to these regions chew the leaves for increased strength and endurance with no apparent long-term negative side effects. They've been actually consuming this stuff for many thousands of years. A single coca leaf typically contains between 0.1 and 0.9% cocaine. While traveling in Peru, I was encouraged to drink coca leaf tea as soon as I got to Cusco, which is fairly high in the Andes, and yes, I did get a headache. And as soon as I drank the tea, bang, it was alleviated. It's a treatment for altitude sickness, which causes temporary nauseousness and headaches in many travelers that visit Machu Picchu, which is where I was going to. In the 1880s, cocaine was introduced into the field of ophthalmology for anesthetizing the cornea. And I remember as a young person in the health food store, a couple of friends and I were exposing our face to a light box and we overdid it. We kept our eyes open and we burned our conjunctivae. And man, I've never felt such excruciating pain. It was like somebody rubbing sandpaper on your eyes. It's the grossest thing. But we went to the emergency and they dropped a couple of these cocaine drops and the pain was instantly relieved. And it is used in dental procedures as well, but it acts as an anesthetic by interrupting the conduction of nerve impulses, especially those associated with the eyes, nose, and throat. I think this is maybe associated with its effect when you take it as a substance, as a recreational drug consumer. Maybe it anesthetizes your brain from certain stresses and worries and fears and puts you in a temporal state that kind of removes you from reality. So maybe it is escape from reality, because maybe the reality, which is not necessarily a terrible reality, but just for a moment, for a time, for a night, it's what people find through their experience using this drug. Well, let's talk about how it's made. After the leaves are soaked and mashed, I've seen this on documentaries. It's quite interesting how it's done locally there by the natives. Cocaine is extracted as a coca paste. After the solvent used has evaporated in the sun, the coca paste is anywhere from 60 to 80% pure. I remember the documentary said something about it being sold at that point at for $500 US a pound, or maybe it was a kilogram. I think it was a kilogram, and then it actually increases up to $28,000 for the same amount in the United States where it's sold. So what a separation or gulf that is between the people in Peru who actually get virtually nothing for it and do all the work. So there's obviously some problem in the distribution equanimity. It is usually exported in the form of the hydrochloric salt called cocaine hydrochloride. This is the powdered cocaine most common in the Western world. Cocaine is manufactured using coal tar derivatives like kerosene, which contains a high amount of benzene. Benzene is a chemical solvent and is extremely toxic. Illicit drugs are also routinely prepared with acetone, which is another hazardous substance. And so we're reminded that it's not the substance that may be hazardous, but the things that are mixed with it. And this brings up the issue of quality control. And because it's illicit, and if it wasn't, it would be more reliable. And so the risks of death and danger are almost always associated with the fact that the products are contaminated, and that's because they are illegal. Drug testing for cocaine searches for the presence of cocaine's major metabolite, the inactive benzoylecogonine. I'll say that again, benzoylecogonine. This can be detected for up to 5 days in casual users. In chronic users, people that use it 3-4 times a week, the urinary detection is possible for as long as 3 weeks. So you need to take a longer break if you need to test, like for a life insurance policy or something like that. If you use it infrequently, it clears out in 5 days. It might take as long as 3 weeks to a month if you're a major chronic user. When sniffed up through the nose as a fine white crystalline powder, cocaine is absorbed into the bloodstream through the nasal passages, the mucous membranes. It is also and can be injected as a solution directly into the veins or smoked in a chemically treated form known as freebase or crack cocaine. To obtain crack cocaine, ordinary cocaine hydrochloride is concentrated by heating the drug in a solution of baking soda until the water evaporates. This type of base cocaine makes a cracking sound when heated, hence the name crack. Base cocaine vaporizes at a low temperature, so it can be easily inhaled via a heated pipe. Cocaine has pronounced excitant action on the central nervous system and brain, where it stimulates the release of vasopressin. This is a hormone stored in the posterior lobe of the pituitary. Vasopressin activates the contraction of capillaries and the intestines, where it increases peristalsis. People who even think about doing cocaine in advance of doing it, that are more familiar with using it, often will need to have a bowel movement. And then once they start imbibing with the substance, it almost always invariably leads to the need to evacuate the bowels. The drug induces a sense of exhilaration in the user primarily by blocking the reuptake of the neurotransmitter dopamine in the midbrain. Cocaine is known to increase mental alertness and cause a sense of well-being and euphoria. Other effects include constriction of the peripheral blood vessels, pupil dilation, increased body temperature, increased heart rate and blood pressure, relief from fatigue, reduced hunger, and increased physical strength. Believe it or not, some people use this as a diet aid. And in the Old West, you saw the little old ladies with the snuff boxes for a little pep. Well, that was cocaine when it was legal and used commonly and certainly not abused like it is today. In others, it has the reverse effect. At higher doses, cocaine is an intoxicant, producing excitement, mental confusion, and convulsions. Now, let's be real here. Cocaine can be very dangerous. It's more dangerous than, say, cannabis and other lighter drugs, which is why it gets such a bad rap. But like anything on that bell curve, once you go beyond tolerance and you use something too frequently, almost anything on the planet can kill you. It uses Actually, cocaine increases the risk of heart attack, seizure, stroke, and cerebral hemorrhage, as a study performed at Beth Israel Medical Center in Boston showed. They compared the risk of heart attack from using cocaine to that of a completely sedentary person who suddenly goes out and does vigorous exercise. That's kind of an interesting analogy. We all know that you wouldn't send someone into the gym for a heavy-duty workout and push them to the limit. And I think that a lack of conditioning and poor nutrition and poor heart condition is probably the primary cause of heart fatalities and damage when people take too much cocaine for the first time without introducing it slowly over a period of time, months, years, whatever. Within the first hour of taking the drug, risk of heart attack is 24 times higher than normal. Tactile hallucinations, which are related to the sense of touch, may occur with long-term chronic application. Cocaine blocks two of the enzyme systems the body normally uses to destroy adrenaline, thus forcing more of it into the adrenochrome pathway. This could explain the sudden death cases associated with cocaine abuse. Vitamin B3 was first isolated from oxidized nicotine derived from tobacco, hence the name nicotinic acid. Niacin is very useful in the treatment of tobacco addiction as it helps modify withdrawal symptoms and strengthens the adrenal cortex. And here's the connection to cocaine. Nicotine also helps alleviate the adverse impact of adrenaline shortage caused by the excessive oxidation of adrenaline to the neurotoxin adrenochrome, which in theory is caused by niacin deficiency and causes psychosis. This is based on Dr. Abram Hoffer's vitamin dependency model. So all smokers should take niacin, and probably all cocaine consumers should take extra niacin or niacinamide as well. Cocaine is habit-forming, and in some individuals may be physically addictive. Most people do not display symptoms of withdrawal after discontinuing its use. Cocaine is known to cause severe personality changes, insomnia, loss of appetite, and antisocial behavior. Some users claim remarkable insight or enhanced clarity with respect to relationship issues and life purpose. For example, Robert Louis Stevenson apparently wrote The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde during a 6-day cocaine binge. Wowzer. Cocaine whacks the immune system and causes the body to accelerate on borrowed time, which must be paid back with interest. It's not a straight loan, 50-50. It is you borrow 50 bucks and you got to pay 75 back. When people mix cocaine with alcohol consumption, they are compounding the danger each drug poses and unknowingly performing a complex chemical experiment within their bodies. National Institute on Drug Abuse funded researchers have found that the human liver combines cocaine and alcohol and manufactures a third substance, cocaethylene, which intensifies cocaine's euphoric effects, while possibly increasing the risk of sudden death. So be careful with the combination of drugs. They kind of had an additive effect. It's not 1 plus 1 equals 2, but it's probably 1 plus 1 equals 5. Long-term use can lead to loss of concentration, irritability, loss of memory, paranoia, loss of energy, restlessness and anxiety, insomnia, nauseousness, vomiting, damage to nasal cavities and membranes, swelling and bleeding of mucous membranes, loss of appetite leading to malnutrition and weight loss, cold sweats, and a loss of interest in sex. Interestingly, there are those who have a very direct increase in their libido. They can't get enough all night long, while others typically and generally lose interest completely and prefer a more intellectually, mentally stimulating event. Some cocaine users also experience what appears to be like a gag reflex, especially when they first start using the drug or when they commence its use at the beginning of each episode. The sensation is like the dry heaves. In some cases, it looks like the person is having a serious convulsion. The throat feels tight or clogged and you feel like throwing up. The effect is most likely caused by the chemicals used to manufacture cocaine or other substances often added by dealers to cut the drug to increase their profit. Like alcohol, the controlling effect cocaine has on an addict's life can lead to exclusion of all other facets of life. Due to the stimulating effects of cocaine, it is possible and quite common to stay up all night long. Alcohol and tobacco are frequently combined. This creates a state of sleep deprivation that erodes the immune system and weakens muscle contraction. Workouts are usually compromised after an all-nighter, and when workouts do resume, endurance generally suffers more than power. So that's it on cocaine, a very interesting substance. I would say that its use is not declining in any way. It seems as if people from all walks of life consume it. Teachers, lawyers, doctors, you name it. The little old lady next door, you would not believe who is using this stuff and who purchases it from the current system, which is dial it up and they deliver it right to your door. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from American author James H. Fetzer. The strongest opposition to the legalization of marijuana comes from self-appointed religious figures who consider themselves to be the custodians of social morality, cowardly politicians who are unwilling to address controversial issues with candor, and the liquor industry, which does not want competition from those who want to smoke their high rather than drink it.